What if the greatest threat to your liberty isn't a tyrant with an army, but a well-meaning bureaucrat with a spreadsheet? This question sits at the heart of one of the most influential yet misunderstood works of political philosophy. Written during an era when collectivism seemed inevitable, when central planning appeared modern and freedom looked antiquated, this book dared to argue the opposite. Its insights have shaped presidents and prime ministers, yet its deepest wisdom remains startlingly simple. We need freedom precisely because we're imperfect, precisely because we don't know everything, precisely because the future is uncertain. Freedom didn't arrive fully formed from philosophical treatises. It evolved messily through centuries of power struggles, accidental discoveries, and hard-won battles. The ancient Greeks celebrated isonomy, equality before law, in drinking songs after assassinating tyrants. Romans developed legal frameworks protecting individual rights, with Cicero declaring, "We are servants of the law in order that we may be free." Then, liberty vanished for a millennium. Its modern rebirth occurred primarily in 17th century England. But here's the fascinating part. Individual freedom wasn't the goal. It emerged as an unintended byproduct of conflicts over economic policy. King James I and Charles I tried establishing industrial monopolies. Parliament fought back. From this struggle came the case of monopolies, ruling that exclusive production rights violated the liberty of the subject. The 1641 abolition of prerogative courts, especially the notorious Star Chamber, symbolized victory. American colonists, steeped in these traditions, rebelled when Parliament claimed unlimited power. Their great innovation was creating a written constitution explicitly limiting government, something their experience with colonial charters had prepared them for. Meanwhile, continental Europe followed a different path. Two centuries of absolute government had destroyed liberty traditions, leaving European liberals confronting powerful bureaucracies that Anglo-Saxon countries lacked. This history reveals freedom's fragility. Liberty isn't humanity's default state, but a rare achievement requiring constant vigilance. Freedom matters because knowledge is scattered among millions of minds. Embedded in local circumstances, no central authority could gather. Your morning coffee illustrates this. A Colombian farmer knew when to harvest, a Seattle roaster understood temperature curves, a barista learned neighborhood preferences. No single person possesses all this knowledge, yet your coffee arrives through millions acting on information only they possess. The factory manager understands equipment quirks headquarters can't see. The teacher knows which student needs encouragement versus challenge. When people act on their unique knowledge and bear consequences, society harnesses exponentially more wisdom than any planning committee could access. Markets aren't just economic arrangements. They're discovery processes revealing information that couldn't exist otherwise. Prices communicate knowledge without anyone needing the full picture. Freedom means something specific, the absence of coercion. Where coercion means controlling someone's circumstances so they serve another's ends rather than their own plan. Freedom isn't wealth. A wealthy courtier, subject to a prince's whim, may be less free than a poor peasant controlling his life. Free societies limit the state's monopoly on force to preventing private coercion, creating protected spheres through general rules that make government action predictable and impersonal. Liberty and responsibility are inseparable. In a free society, individuals must bear the consequences of their actions. This connection forms liberalism's foundation, yet has declined as many believe circumstances determine everything, often masking fear of responsibility itself. The decline stems partly from misinterpreting 19th century science's universal determinism, which seemed to undermine free will. Yet this is a phantom problem. We hold people responsible not to claim they could have acted differently, but to influence future behavior through social convention. Responsibility for one's fate has become a major source of modern dissatisfaction. Success increasingly depends on putting abilities to proper use, and finding our sphere of usefulness is the hardest discipline freedom imposes. Liberty means both opportunity and burden. You choose, but you live with the consequences. True freedom exists when we obey general, abstract rules laid down regardless of their application to us, not subject to another's arbitrary will. Few concepts have damaged freedom more than social justice. This seemingly noble ideal justifies expanding government power by misapplying justice to situations where no one has acted unjustly. Justice traditionally concerns human conduct, just or unjust actions by individuals. Social justice applies these concepts to market outcomes, resulting from countless individual actions, none aimed at producing any particular distribution. When natural disasters raise food prices or innovation makes skills obsolete, people suffer through no one's deliberate action. These outcomes may be unfortunate, but they aren't unjust. Social justice demands government control wealth distribution to equalize prospects rather than circumstances. This abandons individual responsibility by holding entire groups accountable for individual actions, resembling collective punishment rather than justice based on individual rights. The pursuit inevitably conflicts with the rule of law. When government treats people equally, results will be unequal. When it allows free use of individual capacities, outcomes become unpredictable. Distributive justice requires central allocation of all resources. People must be told what to do and what ends to serve. This creates an impossible dilemma. Either we maintain the rule of law with its unpredictable outcomes, or we pursue social justice through arbitrary commands that destroy freedom. Providing for those unable to support themselves differs fundamentally from imposing particular distribution patterns. The former preserves freedom while preventing hardship. The latter requires totalitarian powers that destroy the framework making justice possible. Democracy is humanity's greatest political achievement, the only method of peaceful change yet discovered. But it preserves liberty only when constrained by constitutional limits and the rule of law. Traditional liberalism and democracy both demand equal participation in lawmaking, yet differ fundamentally. Liberalism limits government's coercive powers, while dogmatic democracy recognizes only one limit, current majority opinion. Democratic governments can wield totalitarian powers. Authoritarian ones might follow liberal principles. Democracy isn't an absolute value, but a method for achieving certain ends. It requires that majority opinion forms independently of government, necessitating a large sphere beyond majority control where individual opinions develop freely. Progress occurs when minorities convince majorities of better ideas, not through conformity to majority standards. Majority decisions lack the superior wisdom of spontaneous social growth. They're typically compromises, satisfying nobody completely. Democracy survives only by recognizing its limits, controlling coercive power rather than exercising it arbitrarily. When democracy attempts specific direction rather than general rules, it delegates implementation to experts who soon claim any means are legitimate. At liberty's core lies the rule of law. Government can only coerce individuals through known, general rules equally applicable to all. Laws must be predictable, measured not by litigated cases, but by disputes that never reach courts because outcomes are clear. Equality before the law presents challenges, as some classification is inevitable, but can be manipulated to target specific individuals. A law's general and abstract formulation minimizes this danger. The rule of law demands the state either enforce law upon others or act under the same law as private persons. When rules apply equally to all, including those who govern, oppressive rules become improbable. Administrative discretion represents the gap through which liberty may escape. While government agencies need discretion, under the rule of law, private citizens and their property aren't objects of administration. Legal guarantees of fundamental rights serve as essential safeguards, impressing upon public opinion the importance of individual rights worth defending. The rule of law prevails only when embedded in society's moral tradition and shared ideals, traditions that embody wisdom accumulated through generations, even when we've forgotten the original reasons. We face a choice our ancestors would recognize, trading security for liberty. The welfare state presents a subtler challenge than outright socialism. Some aims can be realized without harming freedom, while others fundamentally cannot. The greatest danger emerges when legitimate welfare goals are pursued through means contrary to freedom principles. We must distinguish between limited security, minimum income for all, and absolute security, guaranteeing particular incomes deemed deserved. The latter requires discrimination incompatible with freedom. What began as provision for the indigent evolved into income redistribution. Progressive taxation, initially rejected, reappeared disguised as equality of sacrifice, rapidly escalating to confiscatory rates. The path forward requires several commitments. Prefer evolutionary development over central design. Insurance evolved through countless anonymous contributions, creating something superior to any planned system. Recognize certain aims cannot be achieved without sacrificing freedom, and be honest about these trade-offs. Prefer decentralized approaches where competition between localities preserves free experimentation. Remain vigilant against inflation, perhaps the greatest hidden threat to liberty. Your freedom isn't just about you, it's about creating space for discoveries not yet imagined. In defending your liberty, you defend the future's possibility itself.